About time to start. Well, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for coming out. All right, why don't we open in a word of prayer this morning. Father, I thank you once again for a new day. Lord, your day. Lord, thank you for bringing people out today. Father, thank you for opportunities to share your word again. Lord, to look into your word, spend time together, fellowshipping, exhorting one another while it's cold today. And Lord, would you edify your body today and use us in that process? And Father, we just pray already for Pastor Sutton as they spend time in more meetings out in Albuquerque. Lord, would you encourage their hearts? Would you bless Pastor with preaching? And Lord, that you would just do a mighty work in that church out there. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We are still in the missions lesson. We started it last week, and I think we'll just spend all the time today in that as well. May finish a few minutes early. But last week, we started off in just looking at that biblical basis of missions. And if you had to kind of sum it up in one thing, anyone take a stab at what's the biblical basis of missions? Okay, spreading the gospel around the world. Yeah, it's what we call the Great Commission. You know, seeing people saved, planting churches, people being discipled. I mean, that's what what missions is about. And so that's why we focus the way we do here. Is our missions program is about churches, planting churches. I recognize there's other works that God calls people to do, and our understanding is that that's primarily the responsibility of churches to take on these other works around the world as necessary. So we are focused on missions as in accomplishing the Great Commission. All right, and we emphasize how important it is that we're reproducing in kind. You know, that we get that all the way from Genesis. That's the picture that God has given us throughout the ages, is that we reproduce in like kind. And so we want to plant churches with the same faith and practice that we understand the Bible to teach. All right, so the biblical plan for the missions, and then the challenge for the missions. Challenge is, you know, praying for laborers. You know, the fields are white with harvest, and so we need to be praying for laborers and praying that we would understand how God wants to use us in that process. All right, so then we finished up last week on page 89, the biblical way to support missions. And we covered before we finished the right attitude, motive, and purpose in giving financially towards missions. And again, I think Bethel Baptist Church understands that. We've got a really good program. The danger of having a really good program is to all of a sudden rest on our laurels, and that would be very dangerous to do. And that's the same of anything in life. Anytime things are going well, it's kind of like, okay, stop and reevaluate, is everything really going well, or am I just comfortable? Because more often than not, as soon as life gets comfortable, there's probably something I'm overlooking. And so I need to get back to the Lord, you know, daily, you know, constantly, you know, what will thou have me to do? What am I supposed to be doing now? What am I forgetting? One of my jobs in the Navy, I remember going, and one of the key words of advice is, as soon as you think things are going well, start flipping over rocks. Because you're going to find something that's not going well. And I think that's probably safe with life. You know, there's always something we can be working on. And maybe it's not broken. Maybe it's not bad in our terminology. But it doesn't mean that there's not an area to be focusing on. Maybe there's something I need to be more diligent on. Okay, so maybe I've been praying really well. But, you know, my Bible reading is kind of getting slack. You know, as a matter of fact, I can't really remember what I read this morning. You know, maybe I need to refocus a little bit. Or, ugh. Boy, it's been days, weeks, months since I shared the gospel with somebody. Okay, Lord, it's something I need to beef up and get going. And so anyway, having I always want to be careful, and I think I encourage us as a church to be careful that we're never comfortable with where we're at. Because you look in the Bible, and their churches were not comfortable. Their churches were on the move, and they did suffer persecution a lot, and it's because they were out doing the work of the Lord, and I think that's what God has promised us. Okay, so that leads us to praying for missions. You know, we give, and we keep on doing what we're doing, and constantly be seeking the Lord and what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to give it, but then prayer. You know, you hear the missionaries, and they're typically, I mean, it's pretty rare to have them come, that they won't make an emphasis that please be in prayer. I mean, yes, we need financial support, but we need prayer. And because they're out there, if you will, on the front line, and they're trying to get a church started, and our enemy, Satan, doesn't want new churches. He doesn't want people gathering, hearing the gospel, hearing the word of God, learning the commandments of Christ, learning how to walk. And, oh, by the way, now this new church is going to start going out and spreading the gospel more and more. I mean, why would Satan want that? He doesn't. So he's going to throw every roadblock he can. He's going to throw every hindrance. And so he is dead set, if you will, on stopping new churches from getting started. We know that just in the years I've been here, and I know it's nothing new, it's just that you support a missionary, and in our eyes, some of them succeed at getting a church started and some don't. Quite a few missionaries just in recent years have left the field for different reasons, different times, but they haven't been able to get a church planted and growing. Others have a small fledgling church, and they just can't get self-supporting. You know, and so there's more than enough for us to do in praying. So let's just look at a few verses and about praying for missionaries. Romans 15:30. Paul being certainly a tremendous example for us of a missionary, Acts Romans. And he spoke often about urging folks to be praying for him. In Romans 15:30, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake," notice he didn't say for his own sake, "it's for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God." You strive together with me. He knew this was not a small thing. I mean, he always talked about how much he's praying for all of these churches. I mean, he's been around all over the place, and everywhere he's gone, he's leaving believers behind, leaving churches behind, and so he's praying for all of them. So he understands this is not a small request. So he's saying, strive together with me in your prayers. It's work, but it's a teamwork, and you can work across the miles, and the Holy Spirit, I mean, what's a mile? You know, what's 1,000 miles? What's around the world to the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, you know, he moved upon the waters in the creation and made it all come to be. And so miles means nothing. And so our prayers are not limited by distance in any way, shape, or form. Our minds are limited by distance because we think, oh, that's way over there. Out of sight, out of mind. I'm like that. I mean, it's challenging to keep things on my mind that aren't in front of me, you know, and so that's why it's easy to get distracted, you know, at work. Oh, new email, oh, phone call, this, that, or other. Before you know it, time has passed, and it's like, that's where I was focused, out of sight, out of mind. In prayer, it's much the same way. So we do things like create prayer cards, you know, and so it's something visual to us and to remind us. But ultimately, I think it really has to become a heart issue. And when something is very important on our minds, our hearts, then we'll remember to pray for them. So striving together, it is work. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. In 2 Thessalonians 3:2, it reads, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So let's back up to verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." So he's given actually several things there to pray for. He's asking, one, that the word of the Lord may have free course. He walked in a day that it was the word of the Lord was hindered from being shared a lot because he lived in pagan cultures and going around in these different places. Some places they stoned him, some places they beat him, some places they threw him in prison, and yet he was constantly praying for the word of God to be able to be free and move and him being used in the midst of that. They didn't all have Bible. They didn't have boxes of Bibles to hand out. You know, they didn't have all that. It was a lot of work to just duplicate scriptures. So I know everybody's distracted by the sound of mommy. That's okay. That means we have children in the church. That's a good thing. So pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. And so now we want the word of the God to be freely given, shared, preached, and then that it would be glorified, and then that they'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. They're everywhere. They're all over the place, and they've been around for a long time, and the world is absolutely full of them. You know, you can read something in the news or something going on, or you just hear this, that, or the other going on in our world around us, and you just go, why? I mean, that's unreasonable. Those people are so wicked. That's right. They're unreasonable and wicked. And so people like missionaries trying to plant churches and one another, by the way, we need to pray that we would be delivered from those things. We don't need to be consumed by all of these unreasonable and wicked people out here in the world. We need to have freedom to get the word of God out. They're there. We have to deal with them. But ultimately, it's got to be done through the word of God and through prayer in order to overcome these things. So, fortunately, in verse 3, he says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." So we have hope. You know, on the one hand, it's like, oh, these unreasonable and wicked men, we got to pray that God would protect us. And he says, and he will, because the Lord is faithful. So that's our hope, but he tells us to pray. So let's pray and remain in prayer for them. So when you think of our missionaries, you know, in China, and it's like, hey, there are some unreasonable and wicked people over there, and they absolutely just want their destruction. But we know from all we've heard, God has his hand of protection there. He is faithful because he wants his word proclaimed, and it's being proclaimed. And so keep praying that. It's not a one-time check done. It's a continual, ongoing, regular thing that we need to be diligent in prayer and persistent in prayer. Ephesians 6:19, a very similar thought. But again, what are we praying for? Ephesians 6, you know, we have the whole armor of God. And, you know, you can pray a whole lot of things about the armor of God for not only self, but also for those out there fighting the fight, who you're striving with in prayer. But as it ends up, we see in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You don't think of the Apostle Paul as a meek, timid person, right? But here he is, he's asking us to pray, he's asking those he was writing to pray for him that he would speak boldly. He was a real man. He had the real challenges like anybody else, and he needed boldness. He knew he needed boldness because he was constantly being put in hard places. I mean, he gets chained to soldiers in prison, and now he just needs boldness to keep on preaching to them. Everywhere he goes, you know, it's like, okay, that crowd doesn't look too friendly. Let's go. And he started preaching the gospel. And so he needed boldness like anyone else does. And so he asked for utterance may be given unto him. He needs the words. He needs the Holy Spirit to speak to him. He needs that word of wisdom. He needs to be reminded of all the things that his mind knows, that his heart knows, that the Lord knows, and he wants to be used by the Lord to speak. I know that our missionaries want that same thing. You know, they want to have the boldness to speak when they're supposed to speak, to go when they're supposed to go, and so we need to be praying for those things, an utterance. And utterance is just that they would open their mouth boldly and speak when it's time, and open doors of opportunity, divine appointments. You know, divine appointments, when God sets it up where this person needs the gospel, you have the gospel, and you're supposed to share it. You know, those divine appointments. All right, Hebrews 13:18. And this, more reason to think that Paul's probably the author of Hebrews as well. It just sounds so much like him. You know, so he wraps up here in verse 18, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." All right, so that's a very important thing that we need. You know, if you're the one out there trying to minister to other people, trying to share the word of God with others, trying to live in such a way that others want to emulate what you've got, you need to have a good conscience. You know, you can't run around leaving offenses. You know, so now all of a sudden you come back to Philippi and you go, ooh, boy, I remember that guy. Yeah, I didn't handle that situation very well. I really spoke harsh to him. And so now he's got this offense. And so he needs to be able to deal with that. He needs a clear conscience. And I'm not saying Paul did any of that. But is that not indicative of us? You know, somewhere along the line, we have an offense against somebody. And how do you know you have an offense against somebody? Or either been offended or have offended. There's a wall. It's like, do you dread seeing certain people? Are there certain people that you just really hope you don't run into? So you have to ask, you know, why not? You know, what is the issue there? And it can vary. It can have a wide range. But the bottom line is, he's asking that there would be a clear conscience. And Paul talks about that in other places as well, just having that conscience clear before God and man. And so that no matter where you go, anywhere you go, you know you've done what you should do with each and every relationship in life. So he's praying for a good conscience. So one, we should be dealing with that for ourselves, but then also as we pray for others, that they too would have the courage. I mean, it takes courage to go deal with old offenses. It's hard. So we should pray for our missionaries that they would be able to handle that. All right, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, we already prayed for, we already read that as the lead into verse 2. So again, that because he wanted the word of God to have free course and be glorified. All right, there's several other verses that came to my mind. See, we're not far from James here in Hebrews. So James 5:16, you know, comes to mind as we think about prayer. And we even print this on each of the prayer cards, I believe, for our missionaries. The last part of it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So we got, three things there. Number one, the righteous man's prayers. Oh, okay, so that's me. All right, so now I've got to be righteous before God. I've got to have my right standing before God. I've got to have my relationship right before God if I'm going to be diligent and be a prayer warrior on behalf of others. You know, because as we know, when we've got sin in our heart, God won't hear. He's like, no, let's talk about cleaning up some sin here. Then I'll be happy to listen to your petitions and supplications. So we have to have our heart right before God. And then we've got to pray. We've got to be diligent and fervent in prayer. And then God does the work. We pray, God does the work. You know, it availeth much. And it's not that what did Elijah do? He prayed. Elijah didn't do much of anything, if you think about it. You know, he prayed and God did the work. You know, God said, go and tell the king this, and he did. He says, go and, you know, go to the creek, and the ravens will take care of you. Go and ask the widow for a meal. And so he did the things, and then God did the work. And so eventually then he also has the big Mount Carmel event, and so he went, and he just stood around and waited, and then God did the work. God came down and sent fire from heaven. So God's the one who has to do it. It says that Elijah, you know, prayed for the rain to stop and prayed that it would come back. That's prayer. Those are words up before Almighty God. But God did the work. So that's what we have to remember as we pray for others. It's not that we are accomplishing the work. We are asking God to do the work. So it's good to keep that in perspective. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Verse 5:25. Oh, this one's the real simple one. Brethren, pray for us. I mean, this was like straight and to the point. Pray. Pray anything. Just pray for us. And so it was very important. I believe we already looked at Romans 15:30 up top, striving together in prayer. Okay. Now, the reason I wanted to make sure everyone had one of these, and if you don't, then look near somebody else. I guess we're going to have to print some more because we don't have any more back there. But this is a nice one to have. You know, one, we have our prayer cards, you know, with an individual card with that missionary on it that we rotate around and we pray for. And really appreciate all those who are willing to do that. I know sometimes it's challenging keeping up with the card and making sure it comes back in time and this, that, and the other. But I think it is a great work. And this is what we're talking about, is praying for our missionaries. Well, on here you have a few of those verses there at the bottom. And then it also gives a list of things, how to pray for missionaries. And oh, by the way, all the things we just said, all of them aren't there, or at least not in the same words. So this is not an exhaustive list. You know, this is just a list that over time, and I think things have been added to it over time as well. But these are some things. You know, some days your heart's just full and it's no problem. You got lots to pray about. Maybe you've just heard the letter from that missionary and your mind is full and you can pray for them, no problem whatsoever. Some days you go, I haven't heard from that person for a while, so what do I need to pray for? Well, pull out your little card, doctrinal priority. Is that important? You bet. They're trying to establish churches. I mean, if you don't have doctrinal purity, stand by. Your church is going to go awry from the very beginning. I mean, you got to start off with the right doctrine, or each person who comes in, well, I heard, I believe, I think, sorry, this church that we're establishing here, we're using this book. This is our sole source of faith and practice. You know, this is our sole authority. You know, we've talked about that before. It's not our final authority, though it is final, but it's our sole authority. There is no other authority to go to. There's nothing else to compare it to. So this is our authority. So they've got to have doctrinal purity. We've had two missionaries that we've stopped supporting. One left the field, the other stayed, because of they decided that what they had learned and been taught and what they were sent out with was no longer true. That's hard. Now, we understand at least one of them, and I think both, spent a lot of time with other study. They got started in studying through another university somewhere, digging into other, hearing other people teach and preach that were from a different belief system. And all of a sudden, they decided that, well, you know, maybe this isn't really the only Word of God. You know, maybe this isn't the pure, preserved Word of God, which opens up the door now. Then what is? So there's nothing else to base it on, because now you get to pick and choose what you want, because it's like, oh, well, let's go back to the original. I believe the originals were absolutely the pure Word of God. We just don't have them. So then we have to believe that God has preserved His Word and made it last throughout history for us. And that's a whole other lesson. But doctrinal purity is so foundational for our missionaries to get started. It would be so easy to just kind of, well, you know, I really need people. I mean, how do you start a church without people? And so if you want people, then there's a tendency for some, you know, to be, well, let's not hit this topic real hard. Let's not preach this doctrine real hard, you know, because this is going to turn people away. Or, hey, you know, this culture that I'm trying to reach, you know, I mean, they don't think the way we do. And I agree. I mean, so there are some cultural things you have to deal with, but not at the expense of doctrinal purity. And so we can pray for our missionaries of doctrinal purity. And no, I'm not going to go through all 16 items like that. But you go down through the list. I mean, we know finances, that's always an issue for them. And so it's on the one hand, we pray about giving to them, but then they need to be wise too. I mean, pray for our missionaries that they would be in the Word of God and practicing biblical truths. Because they may have lots of people giving to them, but if they're out there not spending their money wisely, you know, not wisely investing their time and resources, if they're not honoring God with all that they do, then the finances, well, then the devourer is just going to come eat it up. And then they're going to be out trying to get more churches to support them. So that's a valid prayer. You know, pray for our missionaries that they too would honor the Word and honor the Lord in their finances in every way, shape, and form, so that the Lord would be pleased and He would bless them. And no matter how much is given, it's always enough. I mean, that's what I've seen in life, is like, it doesn't matter what I have at what point in life, it's like God always provides enough for now. If I need more, then He provides more, you know, and so God knows what we need when we know it. It's the same when we need it, same for the missionaries. Relationships, you think they don't have problems with relationships too? Some missionaries leave the field because of relationships. There was someone long years ago. A friend went to the mission field, and absolutely, their marriage it was only by the grace of God that their marriage didn't totally dissolve. They had to come off the field, though. They lost their whole ministry because they had bad relationship within their own marriage. And so they struggle with other things. They've got kids to raise, too. You know, some of them already have adult children. They've got to interact with people. They've got people in their churches. They're struggling with things, you know, issues going on within. There's relationships. They're all over the place, and they have to be handled biblically. Child training, just mentioned that. Joy. Oh, you know, it's tough just having this sad, moping person trying to get a church started. I mean, there has to be a certain joy. Yes, there's soberness. Yes, there's the range of things. But ultimately, why do people want to come somewhere where there's no joy? I mean, not many people want that. So anyway, so pray for joy and moral excellence, staying pure. I tell you what, sin can take a missionary off the field so fast. It can absolutely destroy a church so fast. So pray for them. They are under attack. They are under attack just like we are, if not more, because they're out there trying to get this work done. Their walk with God, discipleship, character, finishing well. You know, some of the missionaries out there, they're young. You know, they've got, you know, in our eyes, we don't know ever know how long, but, you know, they're young, and so we think, wow, they've got years to go, and God's going to use them in great ways. Some of them are well up in years, and they want to finish well. And I know they do. You know, people like Brother Burwell, I guarantee you, you know, he wants to finish well. And, wow, what an example. He just keeps going. I mean, I can't even remember the number of times he's had blood poisoning. I mean, it's ridiculously high number. I mean, it's just absurd. Anyone venture to remember a number? I mean, it's 50, 60 plus. I think it's higher than that. I mean, it's just like he's had it over and over and over again. So he's got his challenges. Mrs. Burwell, she just recently had a lot of health issues. And so, but they're there. They're constantly going. They're constantly going out to churches, serving, doing what God's called them to do. Marriages, we already touched on that, but their marriages, boy, if you don't have a strong marriage out there and you're trying to get all these other people to come in and have good relationships and teaching them what biblical marriage is, the Nezes, you know, when they were here, talking about the ministering to the Navajos, it's like, whew, trying to teach them what marriage is supposed to be is tough. You know, there's just so many issues because of their culture and their the area they're in and so much sin and stuff that they struggle with that. And one letter not too far back, talked about, I can't remember the wording, but anyway, it made a point that it was a biblical marriage. You know, it was that they had actually served the Lord properly and gotten a marriage without all the sin in advance and things like that. And, you know, what a joy to watch a people start understanding the Bible and starting to live by the Bible and see God's hand of blessing because of that. Isn't that what we would love to see? We want to see that in our church. We want to see that in every church that we're part of. Like I said, in every church. You know, there's no reason, if they've got the Word of God, they can't have the same thing. So marriage and health. I mean, boy, health. We could, you know, health is a nonstop challenge. Children's on here again. Soul saved. Yeah, I mean, how are you going to get a church going if you can't see some people saved and brought in? So you could continue on with this list, but please use this. Use it as a prayer guide. You know, and I would venture to say, and I know Pastor agrees with this, it's very hard to get past the health list when we pray. That's here and everywhere else, right? I mean, is our list not just packed full of health? You say, well, they're valid. Yep, they sure are. And do they hinder us from getting life done? Yes, they sure do. And so, yes, we absolutely need to be praying for those things. But there's so much more we also need to be praying for. And so we just need to be diligent in our days. And it's a danger. It's just so simple because it's so obvious. They're so blatant. You know, it's like, oh, they're in the hospital, just had an operation. Yes, we're going to pray for that. But then, you know, remember, oh, but by the way, while they're there, would you give them a divine appointment to share the gospel with someone? Would you encourage them? Would you really fill them with your spirit, cause verses come back to the mind? But they're laying there in pain trying to recover. Yeah, I know, but God can use that. God's not hindered because of that. And we have many, many testimonies of people being able to do just that, sharing the gospel while they're right there. They're either the patient or the visitor, either one. And so God's not limited by these shortcomings. Matter of fact, they seem to be the open doors that he uses. As much as we don't like them, we don't desire them, God does use them. He uses a lot of hard things in life to accomplish his will. He uses things to pray for. I didn't glance at this latest one, so I'm not positive if it's got everybody on it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, I think it is up to date. So use this, pray for these folks. We're going to go ahead and flip the page and finish up the lesson here. And then we're going to come back and look at that list of names briefly. The last part is God blesses a missions-minded church. A missions-minded church. Okay, so missions are on our mind. Missions is what we think about. Missions is what we pray for, put our money towards, put our efforts towards. Missions. Missions is out there. Missions is here. You know, missions is anywhere. You know, until we did the painting here, we always had that banner on the back above the door. You're now entering the mission field. You're stepping out. You know, sometimes missions fields inside the doors as well. But certainly the whole point, you know, church is, what is church? It's for edifying of the body. And so then we are come in here, we're edified, and then we go out, and that's our mission field. In Philippians 4, 14 through 19, let's glance at that briefly. Philippians 4, 14 through 19 says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So what church repeatedly helped Paul financially? The church at Philippi, okay? And you can use your Bible there to spell it to fill in your blanks. What abounded to the heavenly account of this church? What did he say abounded to your account? Verse 17. Fruit. He wanted fruit. I mean, let's go back to John 15. You know, Jesus expects fruit from the vine. If there's no fruit, then there's a problem. You know, vines are supposed to bear fruit. Branches are supposed to bear fruit. So he expects fruit. And then what did God promise to supply for this church? All their need. All their need. Didn't say all their wants, but all their need. And that's what we can expect of God as well, is that he will supply all our need. I've always been fascinated with this thought here. Here's Paul talking to these people who did give generously to him, and he is thanking them. He's praising them because that they were diligent in giving. But in verse 17, he says, "Not because I desire a gift." So he's trying to make this perfectly clear. So like, yes, you need to give. Oh, but by the way, it's not because I need it or I want it, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul understood something that a lot of people don't. A lot of folks think that, oh, so if people are encouraging us to give to missions, then it's like, oh, well, that's because you've got this agenda, you've got this goal, you've got whatever. You know, you're going to look good because of this, or you're going to benefit from this. It's like, well, a biblical perspective is, no, encourage people to give because you, the person giving, gets fruit for that. You get benefit for that. You are part of that work that you're giving to. Now, we've already talked about how we're supposed to give, you know, generously, sacrificially, with the right attitude, as unto the Lord, you know, for the purpose of sharing the gospel. So assuming that's all in line, then as we give, we are partakers now of the work that we're giving to. Now, sometimes God allows us to give financially to help work like this, just like a lot of them gave financially to Paul. And there was benefit. Paul did receive benefit for that, but I don't think Paul ever worried about where his funds were coming from. He knew that God would always supply, and he did. And so now he can pray and encourage them to give so that now God could bless them and that they would benefit and be the beneficiaries because they're being obedient and walking in obedience. So that's the joy. So anyway, just a side note there. All right, and so then at the bottom of this lesson, he has a very good assignment here. It says, make a list of the missionaries our church helps support, noting their fields of labor. So one, you got your cheat sheet now. You got your little prayer card, and it lists them out for you. I'll just briefly kind of go down through them. And let's see here. So we got Brother Burwell, and though he lives down in North Carolina, he ministers up and down the East Coast primarily. I think he'll venture a little further, but primarily he's in the central East Coast area. But he goes and he just ministers to churches. He'll fill pulpits. He'll preach for special services. He'll go and try to encourage churches that don't have pastors. He's been an interim pastor who knows how many times, you know, certainly filling the pulpit as needed, and then encouraging other churches, you know, and giving counsel as a wise pastor. So he serves the Lord's churches. James Downs is on here next. We're currently not financially supporting yet, but we do have his prayer card out, and I hope you do remember them to be praying for them. They're trying to get a work started in Washington, D.C., and specifically reaching out to whom? The Ethiopian people. They've been missionaries in Ethiopia, and now they're trying to reach a rather significant population within the D.C. area of Ethiopian people. And it's a tough people to reach because they're all Greek Orthodox, i.e. the other branch of Catholicism. And that's very, very difficult to break in, if you will. And so apart from the work of the Holy Ghost, it's not going to happen. And so they need prayer that God would open those doors. And obviously, the next one there, we pray for the Duns and their work. And we get some good letters from them, had an encouraging one recently. And so God is doing a lot of things there, getting a church established. One's already established, raising up local pastors. Michael Gleb, now he stepped into Torrington in an existing church. You know, it's a real shame that there's this massive industry to, I didn't say mission, that's the wrong word. What word did I want? There's massive, outreach. I'm not sure what the word I want. There's a whole lot of churches that need restarted. That's a very unfortunate thing, but that is a fact. And so quite a few of these missionaries here and other ones that we've supported have actually gone to existing churches because they've dwindled down to just this tiny core of people that were just holding the fort and nothing else. You know, they weren't thriving anymore. A lot of them didn't even have pastors anymore. Well, I guess if they're going in, they didn't. So anyway, it's church restarts. And that's what they did up in Torrington. And so now Brother Gleb is getting it moving again. But it's not even at a point where it can support itself yet. And so it's like, well, it's not there yet. So keep praying there. The Hershbergers, that church was already started. They had a regular population of people, but they couldn't support a pastor. And oh, by the way, Brother Pedro Morales, who's coming the 24th of April, was the previous pastor of that church. And it'll be interesting hearing his story. And I think, you know, we should ask those questions. It's like, oh, wait, why are we sending a missionary to this church that you were at before? And pastor has spoken to him about that. You know, and then there's a story there. But we're supporting the Hershbergers in keeping that church going in Wachula. And this, from the sounds of it, they are growing, and God is doing a lot of work there. But meanwhile, they're not self-supportive yet. And so we need to be praying that they would get there, and they should be. Brother Kuzel, you know, got one church, you know, established, has a local pastor who was saved in that ministry there and is now leading there. And they've got a few other works that they're attempting to get started there. And so keep praying for the Kuzels, who are stateside right now, but I don't know if we're going to get them here or not. The Lehmans, one church established, though they still need a pastor in Sri Raka. And then now in Chiam, trying to get that new church started. Mrs. Long is a carryover from the past, and in all honesty, she is on this list because at one point this church supported she and her husband, and they worked through BIMI, and because she's a widow, you know, it's like, well, I don't think we're going to drop a widow. You know, we do understand God's economy, and so that's not a wise thing, though, you know, that pastor doesn't really support mission boards, and there's a lot of reasons for that. That's the only person left here who, from the past, you know, we used to have quite a few missionaries that were part of boards, but so that's why she's on here. She's still serving the Lord, and so we keep praying for her as well. She prays for us. Brother Lowry, you know, trying to get things going there in Croatia, challenging, but they do have a work going, and so keep praying for them. McFarlands went up there and started a new church, but then this other church needed a restart. They merged, and so now technically he's kind of in a restart, but he has an established church. Now they need to be self-supportive. And so there's a work going on there. We are still supporting them. Keep praying for them. Brother Montoro also did a restart in Riverhead, New York. He is going to come the 10th of April, by the way. We'll announce that. We just got that new word. So we'll get to meet Jesse and their new baby. Yeah, the baby. What's it? Kimberly? I can't remember. Oh, well. Elizabeth just left. She probably knows. So anyway, we'll pray for Montoro's, the Nezes we've mentioned already. They've got two church plants going, and both of them seem to be moving strong, but they need pastors. You know, that they need some of those Navajo young men to step up, and I know he's working diligently to see that happen, but that certainly should be a big part of our prayer for them, is that those that there would be two young men with families to step up and take those two churches. And then I think Brother Nez would start another one, because I think that's his heart to do. Right in box, challenge on our behalf. And as we team up with them, then I think in God's economy, God's credit system, you know, those who give to the missions in Taiwan and Thailand and all over the world, they are getting credit for reaching those people for Christ. So, but we'll let God figure all that out. All right, so let's wrap up there. And there's not much more. We'll see if we'll continue this next week or not, but let's finish for now. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for caring enough about us to give us a clear purpose before you left your time on earth. And Lord, I thank you that you continue to empower us and strengthen us and lead us and guide us. And Lord, we do continue to pray that you would lead Bethel Baptist Church very, very clearly in the right people to support. Lord, we're in a phase right now that we are seeking several new missionaries, and Lord, we desire to find the right people. And Lord, you're sending a few folks our way next month, and just pray that you lead us and guide us in that and make that very clear. And Lord, I believe there's still another spot we're trying to fill for April, and so I pray that you'd open those doors and draw in the right people. Lord, we commit the rest of the day to you. Thank you for bringing us out today, and we just trust that you'll draw many more into your services today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And prayer is really living in sin. You need to repent of using your time poorly and start walking in obedience to the Scriptures. I mean, you know, it says pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, this could be done in love, okay? You know, I'm not trying to poke at any one of these, but what's the point in a prophet? They differentiate right and wrong very clearly, then they sin just kind of jumps off the page. It's very clear to them. And look, here's truth. Let me proclaim truth to you. So that's one approach, right? And that may be all this person needs. And that may accomplish the mission. Okay, so someone with the gift of ministry or serving. Hey, why don't I give you a call each morning to make sure you wake up in time to spend time in the Bible and in prayer? Perhaps I can swing by and help you with some of the chores around your house to free up your time. After all, Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what? If that person might just be a new mom and she's got three young kids, that may be exactly what she needs. Somebody just come alongside. So it depends on who the person is. You got to think about who your audience is. It's not going to be the same answer for everyone.